Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Michael Shackelford. Shaq is an actuary by profession and publishes on a wide variety of gambling games on his website, wizardofodds.com. He was our very first guest on this show, co-hosted it for a year, and appears as a guest periodically. Between being host and guest, the number of visits on this show is almost identical to the number of visits that Richard has been on. Tonight, Michael will be talking about the National Football League parlay cards. Michael Shackelford, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks. It's nice to be back.
Before we get to the parlay card discussion, we received an email in the past week at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com that we'd like to share with you. Several months ago, Superhost Steve Sear was on the show, and it was mentioned that having a Facebook and other social media accounts was probably a good thing. One Advantage player has had the opposite experience, at least in terms of online sports betting. Munchkin, what was that all about?
The online sports books got into his and another player's Facebook accounts and used the fact that they knew each other as justification for saying that they were a team, and therefore basically stiff the players. So you would ask, how can you have a team and bet sports? And the sportsbook's contention was that they were circumventing the limits by putting in bets this way. Sounds like really a load of complete hogwash, but the justification they was used was basically that they were Facebook friends.
There was other justification too. They bet the same lines within 5 minutes of each other, something like 80% of the time.
Yeah, that's true. But that's true.
Which is stronger than being Facebook friends.
Bogus reason not to pay somebody.
Okay.
But this brings up actually a larger point because, and I'm sure Michael will have some input on this. When I used to play a lot on the internet, people would say, aren't you worried about getting ripped off? And especially I find with sports books that often sort of the shadier the place, the bigger the advantage that you can get, the more that they're offering. So there's always this delicate dance of, is this place too shady where I'm going to lose my money, or is it worth it to go after, the really big edge?
Yeah, that's always a trade-off with the world of sports betting. One could talk about it all day, but personally I favor the more reputable books and am willing to sacrifice an advantage.
Really? So if the reputable book has a team at plus 10 and you see one of these sort of shadier ones at plus 12?
I would take the plus 10.
Really? It's really the same idea about going to some foreign countries, like BJ Traveler going to Colombia where, you know that you're going to have to pay a certain amount of graft just to be able to leave the country with the money. But is the edge so big that it's worth it?
Yeah, certainly you would have to take things on a case-by-case basis.
Sure.
But I just feel more comfortable doing business in a place where I feel confident I'll get paid if I win.
Very good. Internet gaming is scheduled to start in New Jersey in less than 2 weeks. What do you know about this, Richard?
Yeah, so this is really cool because this is not like Nevada. They are going to have full internet gaming. And so next week on the 21st is the first day, and they're going to have it from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. And they want to test all of the location and verification of who's actually playing. So for every player, they're allowing 500 players to play by invitation. And there has to be a gaming agent there monitoring all of this for that 8 hours to make sure that they are able to make sure the person playing is who they say they are, that they're actually located, you know, in New Jersey. And then the next 2 days, they're going to expand it from I think it's 8 to midnight, something like that. So yeah, this is all exciting stuff coming up, and they have petitioned the gaming control there to be able to offer bonuses to players, which would have wagering requirements attached to them. So, and it looks like they are going to have that eventually down the road. So yeah, this is all a very good thing.
Are you planning to move to New Jersey in the near future?
Well, you never know. I'll have to, I don't think you have to live there. I think it's like Nevada where you just have to be there to play. You know, I don't expect it to be like the glory days of the internet, but the good thing is, going back to this, do you play the shady place, you know, that offers the bigger edge, I don't think you'll have any of the shenanigans that went on with internet casinos in the past where they refuse to refund your money or, you know, come up with bogus excuses to slow pay you or whatever. How about you, Michael? You interested in the online gaming in New Jersey?
Yeah, I find it a very interesting topic, although I think it might be bad for me personally in terms of decreased advertising revenue. I certainly welcome it as a good thing for gaming in general.
Why would that decrease your gaming revenue?
Because I make most of my income from advertising Bovada on my websites, and I think that if once internet gambling becomes fully accessible and legal to U.S. citizens, I tend to think Bovada is going to get a smaller market share, and I'm not going to get as good of click-through results on my ads, and therefore I'm not going to make as much money.
Oh, you wouldn't consider also putting up ads for the New Jersey?
Oh, I'd be happy to. However, I think they will have access to mainstream media, which doesn't pay as well as, shall we say, advertising
sure.
That's in the legal gray area.
Yep. Yeah, they'll be able to put on television advertising, I guess.
Yep, I think they will.
All right, let's change horses again. During the weeks and months before the 2012 presidential election, Michael Shackelford and I regularly reviewed the odds on various sites concerning who was going to win the election. I did receive one email claiming Michael and I were un-American because we reported that Barack Obama was ahead on those sites. Strange, I don't think either one of us said who we actually were planning to vote for or even if we were planning to vote. But, sure enough, Obama won. In Great Britain, it's never too early to start the betting on the 2016 election. Hillary Clinton is the early favorite, although you can get a bet down on a large number of different people. Richard, what do you make of this?
Well, so Hillary Clinton started out at 5-2, and a guy made a single $2,400 bet, and it shifted the odds down to 2-1. But, man, I mean, if I was there, I would certainly be betting the don't on Hillary. No matter who the candidate is, this has absolutely nothing to do with your politics. These prices, you know, after the Iowa caucuses, whoever wins, they get a boost, and these prices move up and down. So if you can bet the don't against Hillary and get, you know, something close to 2-1, I would think that'd be a great bet. I mean, basically, you're betting on anybody in the world other than Hillary Clinton and getting 2-1. That's a fantastic bet.
Well, it would be a fantastic bet. I don't think they accept those bets.
Well, why don't we talk about this off the air?
Okay, yeah, maybe we spent too much time. But
okay, now, Michael, prior, still not getting too far away, prior to the last election, you gave some hints on how to profit from betting on an election. Are there any that you can share on the main strategic points as to how to do this with an edge?
Yes, there's a website I really like called 270towin.com. It's by a lot of very good statisticians that look at every single poll and consider the Electoral College, which is what elects a president, not the popular vote. And just the days before the last presidential election, they had Obama at about an 80% chance to win, while the media was saying it was a horse race. And the going odds on the internet were you only had to lay about 2-1 on Obama, which I did a lot. And of course, he won. Going back to the 2008 election, they had Obama at about a 95% chance to beat John McCain, and you only had to lay about 8-1 on the internet. So again, normally I hate to bet on favorites in sports, but when it comes to betting in presidential elections, I've found that betting on favorites is the basic strategy and the way to go. And again, I trust this website, 270towin.com. So just compare what they have to say about the probability of each candidate winning against the market, and look for an advantage wherever you can find it. And betting presidential elections has been consistently a big winner for me every single election going back to Clinton Dole.
In Nevada, it's now legal for them to bet on presidential elections. Is that true?
I believe that law changed just before the 2012 election, but nobody took those bets at that time. But hopefully in 2016, somebody will.
We should add that there will be very good, normally there are very good opportunities to be able to arbitrage this betting at sites like InTrade, where it's an actual market, because when the bookies have to actually set a line, the lines they set are often terrible compared to the market price. So you can bet both sides and create a middle.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about NFL parlay cards. You'll find a more complete discussion of this on the wizardofodds.com website. The biggest edges apparently come from half-point parlay cards. Before we get into these parlay cards in particular, Michael, why don't you take about 10 minutes or so and explain to our listeners some of the wheres and whys of parlay card. Later on, we'll get into the specific suggestions as to the best bets.
Okay, this topic is kind of math heavy, so pay attention. Feel free to interrupt me if you don't understand anything. But recently, I did a lot of analysis, not just of parlay bets, but also teasers and pleasers. And all these cards considered, I find that the best advantages can be found on what's called a half-point parlay card. What is a half-point parlay card, you may ask? This is a parlay card where every single point spread ends in a half. Therefore, it's impossible to have a tie. Parlay cards are these sheets of paper that you see in sports books, especially during the NFL season, where you pick anywhere from 3 up to about 12 teams against the spread or the total. They all must win for you to win the bet. And the pay is according to how many teams you pick. For example, I bet at the Rampart a lot for a 5-team parlay card. They pay $25 for one. For 6, they pay $50 for one. And for 7, they pay $100 for one. They pay the same odds, by the way, for these number of picks at the William Hill casinos. As I show on my website, half the battle is just finding the good odds to begin with, and I show who pays what with all the Vegas sportsbook families. In general, William Hill usually pays the best, but the Rampart / South Point equal their pays on lots of them, including the 5, 6, and 7, which is where I like to bet. So how do you gain an advantage on these things? Number one, you don't just want to bet on your favorite teams. No, you need to try to gain extra points wherever you can get them. Because these are half-point cards, on a lot of games, you're going to get a half point because, for example, let's say the point spread is 7. They can't put a point spread of 7 on this card because it must end in a half. And
so they have to put it either 6.5 or 7.5.
Exactly. And the Oakland Raiders this coming Sunday is a perfect example of that. The going market price is 7 points for Oakland. And the Rampart, if you put them on your parlay card, you get 7.5. 7 is the second most common margin of victory in the NFL. So that is a very good parlay card pick, Oakland plus 7.5. Also, not just buying these extra half points off of point spreads that are normally an integer off the market, but you can also take advantage of line movements. And it's no big secret that the market is much smarter than the people that initially set the lines. So they typically put out the parlay cards on Thursdays, and you can bet them as late as Sunday morning. The later you bet, the more advantage you get in terms of riding these line movements. I just came from the Rampart Casino just before the show. They just put out their cards today, but already there was a significant line movement on the Philadelphia Eagles. The market price there is the Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite. But at the Rampart, you can get them at -3.5. So there's a 2-point swing right there. Don't know why it happened, but it did. And
well, they both sounded the same. Did I miss something? They both, you said 3.5 twice.
I'm sorry. The market price. I'm trying to compose myself here.
All right, so let's say whether it was the Eagles this weekend or not, let's say it was a 2-point movement. How much is that worth? What kind of edge is it if there's a 2-point movement and you're on the and you bet the side to take advantage of that 2-point movement?
Okay, so to checking my notes here, the market shows the contrary to what I said before, the Eagles are a 5-point favorite, and at the South Point / Rampart, you only have to lay 3.5 points.
On the parlay card.
Yes, on the parlay card. So let me, to answer your question, let me go through for this week, so the information is nice and current, what I find to be the best picks off the South Point card and how much of an advantage you're getting.
Okay.
So... okay.
So in studio, he's provided for me a card. It is pink. So we are, instead of doing black and white radio this week, we're doing color radio.
Okay. Yes, this would be a lot easier if we had visual aids on the radio. Okay. The first team that I picked was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The market price on them is they are a 1-point underdog. At the Rampart, they moved that to 1.5. Not a whole lot, just a half point, and 1 is not a very key number. It is the buying off the 1 point. Sorry. I need to speak closer to the microphone. Buying the half point off of a 1-point spread is worth what I call 4.3 basis points. In other words, if it would be fair to lay 104.3 buying that half point. New York Jets is the exact same example. The point spread is +1 in the market, and you can get 1.5 on the parlay card. So it's a good choice, but not a great choice. Then comes the Philadelphia Eagles, which I already mentioned. The market price there is they are a 5-point favorite. And at the South Point, you only have to lay 3.5. The Chicago Bears, here's one that I love. They are a 3-point favorite. And 3 points is the most frequent margin of victory in the underdog. And so whenever you see a flat 3-point spread, you know you're going to get great value one way or the other on these half-point cards because they either have to move that spread to 2.5 or 3.5. In this case, they made the Chicago Bears a 2.5 point favorite. So you're getting that half point off of three. Great value. Oakland Raiders, also a great one. 7 points on the market. It's 7.5 on the card. So you're getting that extra half point off the very key margin of victory of seven.
And Michael, what percentage of games are decided by 3 points?
It is. I have that here somewhere in my notes.
There is a chart on wizardofodds.com which has that information.
I thought you'd have it off the top of your head.
I think that it's 15 or 16% off the top of my head, but I don't have that chart in front of me.
Okay.
But I do know that if you're just betting off the spread, it's worth laying an extra 20 basis points to buy the half point off of three. So it's a very valuable number to cross or to get half of. Okay, so finally, Green Bay. The market price there is they are a 4.5 point favorite, and at the Rampart, you're getting 5.5 on the parlay card.
Green Bay would be a big dog to the Giants this week.
I checked
on the parlay card. It's 5.5.
Right.
Where the Giants are the favorite.
Right. Right. So I show the market price is Green Bay is a 4.5 point underdog. I apologize if I said favorite, but they're the underdog. But at the Rampart, you get 5.5 points on the half point parlay card. So you're fully crossing that 5 point margin of victory. You're not getting half the benefit. You're getting the whole benefit off of a 5 point margin of victory. So when I look at the individual advantages of each leg, number one, I look at the value of gaining these extra half points, and also I assign a value to betting on underdogs in the first place and a penalty to betting favorites. On average, 51.6% of the time, the underdog covers the point spread. So I like to, all other things being equal, I prefer to bet underdogs. The fair price to lay on an underdog is 106.6. So I give all underdogs an immediate 6.6 basis points, and I deduct 6.6 points from favorites. So let's look at Tampa Bay, for example. They're an underdog, so I get 6.6 basis points for them being an underdog, and capturing the half point off of one is worth 4.3 basis points. So I'm getting 10.9 basis points. The probability of winning that leg with 10.9 basis points, I calculate as 52.6%. Exactly the same situation with the New York Jets. With Philadelphia, there the market is minus five. You only have to lay 3.5 at the Rampart / South Point. I have to give up 6.6 basis points because they're an underdog, but because I'm fully crossing the four and getting half the benefit of the five, I'm getting 14.9 basis points there, and I have a chart on my NFL page showing exactly how many basis points you get for each margin of victory. And so negative 6.6 plus 14.9 is a total of 8.3 basis points. I calculate the probability of winning that leg at 52%. The Chicago Bears, there I'm giving up 6.6 basis points because they're a favorite, but getting 20.8 because I'm getting half the benefit off that key margin of victory of three for a total of 14.2 basis points. Probability of winning that leg is 53.3%. And finally, the Oakland Raiders, 6.6 for being an underdog, 11.9 for getting half the benefit of the seven, 18.5 basis points for a 54.2% chance of covering that leg. And the Green Bay Packers, 6.6 basis points for being an underdog, 7 points for capturing the full 5 point margin of victory for a probability of capturing that leg of 53.2%. So, all things considered, I show that the probability of winning all six of those legs to be 2.2%. That bet pays 50 for one. So, so applying that to the probability of winning, I show that if you put all six of those legs on the parlay card, your advantage will be 10.5%. So there you have a simple example, and this was only done on Thursday night, right after they put out the parlay card. It should get much better Friday and Saturday and even Sunday morning as those lines drift even more.
So part of your raw assumption going in is that whatever the line is in the books, especially late, is a fair line and accurately represents what it should be, and you're not required to have any knowledge of what the injury report is on these teams or the weather or anything like that.
Absolutely. I assume when it comes to sports betting that the market is efficient when it comes to the point spread and the total. There's just millions of dollars bet against both the total and the point spread, and I believe that the market moves those numbers to where they should be. Maybe not exactly, but very close to where they should be. My handicapping skills are almost non-existent. I strongly believe that not just with this, but there's all kinds of other tricks when it comes to sports betting there's all kinds of advantage play opportunities when it comes to sports betting, and you need no handicapping skills whatsoever if you just assume that the point spread and the total are correct, and you look to exploit other bets like these parlay cards based on that information. You know, personally, I think I would have a hard time naming 10 players currently in the NFL. You know, I just look at this from a purely statistical point of view.
I bet you've heard of Peyton Manning before. I bet you've heard a lot more than 10. Now, on this parlay card, although I don't like your name of it, South Point actually creates these cards, and they're one of our sponsors, so I don't think Rampart/South Point is nearly as accurate as South Point/Rampart.
That's what I should call it.
Yes. Now, there's a $100 maximum bet. So if you end up with a 10% advantage, that's your EV is $10.
Yep.
And it takes some calculations to do this.
Theoretically, you're not limited to only one card.
Absolutely. Right? When I present these, I usually present several at the same time. I might also
Identical cards?
No, I will usually round robin them where I take, for example, in this situation where there were six teams that I liked, I made one card with all six, and then I made some cards that only had five of them. And I made sure that I put those three strong teams that I liked, Oakland, Chicago, and Philadelphia were on all three. And then I individually bet the other three on each one. So yes, you can put in as many as you like with except, and this is something I should get to later, you know, what I'm talking about is not a secret. The sports books know that people are already doing this, and they have an eye to people betting the sharp side on these parlay cards. And if someone comes in with a big stack of them and they're all very correlated on the hot sides for large amounts, they're not going to be eager to take that action.
I have a friend named Mark who said he used to go in with his stack of parlay cards wearing a hockey mask because usually they would throw them back in his face.
Yes. I think 3 weeks ago, I was a little too aggressive, and I put in a stack of these Sunday morning before kickoff at the Rampart, and it came up approval. And the writer handed them to the supervisor, and I saw the supervisor kind of leafing through them, and he handed them back to me, and he said, "You can bet two of these."
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But if you're willing to run around town, you can bet them at multiple casinos, and you can get some money down.
Yes, absolutely, and there's a lot of William Hill books out there, which, again, have the good odds, and there's a lot of them downtown. So you could run around downtown betting at all their locations. Some people think that they have cameras, and the people that actually approve these things off-site can see who's making the bets. Not sure if that's true or false yet. But a lot of thing that other people do is, especially if they're, say, poker players and they have just time to kill, They will just sit there bubbling these lots of these things in for small amounts and, you know, hand in a stack once per hour to different writers and try to fly under the radar that way.
I had a lunch with Michael Gaughan at the South Point fairly recently, and he was saying that the limits are if you're only a are really for people who are only sportsbook better. If you're also a casino player and you play other games and they know you there, they will exceed these limits. He was not talking about parlay cards in specific.
And I might add that the limit on the William Hill cards is $300. And also, if you bubble in multiple numbers, like, say, 100, and you bubble in 75, that counts as a $175 bet. So if you were to bubble in all of them, that would be the sum of all those numbers.
I don't know what bubble in means.
It's like those when you used to take a test, and you have to bubble in a number indicating what team you're actually betting on these cards.
Yes. Okay. So you fill it in with your lead pencil.
Yes. I know this is a radio show, but this card shows all the different choices you have available on the card, and you bubble in the numbers that you want down
okay.
here.
Okay. Good. All right. So how did you happen to... Now, there are some real sucker bets on half-point cards. So one of the things you said, generally, you stay away from favorites. Generally, you like to get them when you're crossing the three-point lines or seven-point lines. Mm-hmm. Are there any other do's or don't do's in terms of these parlay cards that you haven't specifically mentioned yet?
I'd like to correct something we said earlier. The maximum bet at the South Point / Rampart is $300.
Really? It does say 100 on the front, on the half point card.
That's right. It does say. I'd never noticed that before, but I can tell you that I have bet more than 100.
On the half point card or on other cards?
On the half point card at the Rampart, I'm quite sure that I've bet more than 100 in the past.
Huh.
So, yeah, the rules on the front say $100 maximum bet, but on the card on the other side where you bubble in the amount bet, it goes from $2 all the way up to $300.
Okay.
So
maybe it depends on how much they like you.
like
blackjack players in Atlantic City.
But, yeah.
Actually how much they don't like you is what it depends on.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, and being liked, I think, is important to these things. This is definitely something where it's good to fly under the radar. So I think I've already covered the math on this fairly well. I know it was kind of math heavy, but I go through all of this much more slowly on my website, on my new section on parlay cards. And I don't just address the half point card, but I also address parlays off the board, ties win parlays, ties lose parlays. But again, I perceive the greatest advantages on the half-point card.
Which cards, between the parlays, teasers, and pleasers, which cards offer the biggest edges?
The half-point parlay cards. I could also talk at great length about the teaser cards. And there's also advantages to be had on the on some teaser cards. I find the best ones to be the 6.5-point teaser cards at the Caesars casinos, believe it or not, but we'll leave that topic for another day.
And what exactly is a pleaser?
A pleaser is the opposite of a teaser. With a teaser, you get typically 5 to 8 extra points off the spread, but you pay for that in the form of a reduced payoff if you win. The pleaser is the opposite. There you have to give up points, but if you cover everything that you pick, you win much more. I will say real briefly that my analysis of pleaser cards showed them to be an awful bet. You know, you can apply all the advantage play you want, but I don't think you're ever going to get an advantage off of a pleaser card. And for a recreational player, the house advantage on those things can be enormous, like 50% or more.
Wow. Now,
why do you happen to like the 4, 5, 6, 7 number of teams? Why not three teams?
That's a good question. On my website, I indicate the advantage with each number of picks, and you'll see that it gets greater the more teams that you pick. But I'm a strong believer in the Kelly criterion, and if you are trying to maximize the advantage divided by the variance, which a Kelly bettor should be doing, then the best number of picks is the six-leg half-point card, even though it's not the greatest advantage.
Well, the six-point for perhaps for your bankroll. But,
yes.
But would it be a different number for other bettors?
Yes. If you have a big bankroll and you're not bothered by the maximum bets on these cards, then you should be betting as many legs as you can, assuming you're getting the good odds.
So even the eight-legged ones are 10 for 10 or something like that, where you are going to get buried most weeks, because getting 10 right is just extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do get them, it pays you 800 for one.
Yes, and when you get into the 11 and the 12, the best card becomes what's called the premium payout card at the MGM casinos.
What makes that one better?
Okay, let me pull that up quickly. The MGM has two types of half-point parlay cards. There's a standard one, which is no good, and they also have this one called the premium payout, which only pays if you pick at least six teams all the way up through 12. And so I show that the 12-point the 12-point premium payout card at the MGM casinos.
I mean 12-team.
Yeah, 12-team. Right? Yeah, thank you. 12-team has a player advantage of 176%, assuming that you're getting at least a half point off every pick. The problem is it's very unlikely with only at most 16 games per week, and they don't count the Thursday night game if there is one. It's extremely unlikely you're going to get 12 good picks on the card. So I think for practical purposes, we can pretty much forget about the opportunity.
What spreads do you need to cross to get that edge? Does it have to be either a cross a 3 or a 7?
Certainly you get better advantages when you cross the 3 and the 7, but when I analyze these things on my website, I'm assuming that the player is getting only a half point off every single leg, and I just look at all historical experience across all point spreads for the advantages that I quote. So sometimes you get a half point off a good number, and sometimes you don't.
Wait, so you're saying that basically anybody who bets an 8-team teaser, no matter what they pick, it has an edge?
As long as they're only getting the extra half points. And so, again, just looking at, for example, any given team is, say, if it's a 10-point favorite on the market and you're getting 10.5 on the card, you're getting that extra half point. So you should absolutely only bet teams where you get at least a half a point on these half-point parlay cards.
Better than the market.
Right. And yes, you absolutely have to compare what is on the card to what is the going price on the market. And by the way, when I talk about the market, I highly recommend looking at the offshore casinos as opposed to the Vegas casinos, because the offshore casinos get much more action and it's much sharper action. Vegas gets a lot of square action, which is going to push the point spreads in favor of the underdogs a little bit, because there's a lot of action on the favorites.
Well, it's typical that on Sunday morning, one book will have 2 points and another one will have 2.5.
Yes.
How do you know, and let's say the parlay card has 2.5. Can you say, well, I'm getting the half point off of those books, but I'm not getting it off of this book? Or how do you do that?
You know, it's possible that if you really wanted to take this seriously, you might get better value at one casino than another, even though one casino has a better payoff. If another casino just has a really awful parlay card where you can take greater advantage of it, you know, that would be the better bet. And these casinos do not have the exact same card week to week. You know, last week, for example, I bet some at William Hill and some at the South Point card, and they had different numbers. So I was, also getting, not only was I getting different teams, but it also decreases my variance because I was covering more possibilities. And by the way, these things are feast or famine, just so you know.
Right.
You need a strong stomach to do this.
If you have the Raiders, if you have the Raiders on each one of your cards because you like them,
yep,
and they lose by 8 points,
yep,
you're going to lose $100 times how many cards you had.
You can just throw your whole pile of tickets in the trash.
And that definitely does happen. Yep. All right. So that was interesting, Michael. It's been a couple months since you were last on our show. In addition to the NFL parlay cards, what other changes have you made to the various Wizard websites?
Well, thank you for asking. The last time I was on the show was September 26th, and I've done a lot of stuff since then. I added a page on a new version of Commission-Free PyGow that you can find at the Golden Nugget. You may remember that the last time I was on the show, I incorrectly answered a question about one of the poker players in the World Series of Poker who was offering shares of his action, and I analyzed that incorrectly. So as a penance, I created what I call a poker tournament calculator, where you can put all the stacks and what each place pays, and it calculates exactly what every player's equity is, and the result was that I came up with the same results that the gentleman who was selling his action.
That was Amir Leavitt, who did end up in third place. And so had you taken his bet and included, if you bought the action based on Shaq's recommendation, you still were money ahead.
Yes. I think that you would have come out about 3% ahead. I already mentioned that I wrote pages on parlays, teasers, and pleasers. A couple new video poker games out there, Hyper Bonus Poker and Ultimate Aces, I did write-ups on. There is a new game at the D Casino, a table game called Double Up, which I just wrote a page on. I wrote the first Ask the Wizard column for the first time in over a year, and I'm going to be releasing another column tomorrow. And I also did another calculator on what off-the-board parlays pay if you have all kinds of different odds on them. And finally, after many requests, I completely redid my craps game. Before the last one was rather buggy, and me and my assistant JB started completely from scratch and completely redid that, and I think the new one is much better.
Very good. All right. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anyone else has. If you earn 1,000 points from video poker or 400 points in slots between this Sunday, November 17th, and Thursday, November 21st, you'll get a free frozen Norbest turkey picked up Monday to Wednesday of the following week, which is Thanksgiving week. The double point day is November, will be Thanksgiving Day, midnight to midnight, no limit. Expect to see me at the Quick Quads machine. The free video poker class this coming week is called Secrets of a Video Poker Winner. This is probably the single most important class that I teach. It's more of a philosophy class than a technical class. The topics covered is which game is right for you, money management, how bankroll is affected by triple play through 10 play compared to single line play, attributes that video poker winners have, dealing with the IRS, etc. The class begins Tuesday noon in the showroom. It's free, and everyone at least 21 years or older is welcome. At the Palms, every Friday and Saturday night in November, they're having drawings, 10 winners each, receive $500, and of those 20 winners over the weekend, one of those receives $20,000 in a drawing immediately after the regular Saturday night drawing. That makes your EV $1,500, although 19 out of 20 of you will only get $500. You can win once a night, but you can win both nights. And there is, since it's based on the number of entries you have in the drum, the people who have played a lot and have the most entries, there is a correlation between who gets called Friday and who gets called Saturday. The play, earn, and win gifts are such, the big gift is a Chromebook computer. You can earn the points on Monday, and if you don't spend them on Monday, you can spend them on Wednesday or Friday. If you don't spend points on earned Wednesday, you can spend those on Friday. Any unredeemed points by Friday evening evaporate. Tuesday, Thursdays, you can play, and you may earn free slot play. It's at a slightly lesser rate than regular points. Normally, it takes 40,000 points to get $100 of free play. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, it takes 45,000 points. So that makes it 0.225 rather than 0.25. But in essence, it's double points Tuesday and Thursday for a couple hundred dollars worth, which is $85,000 coin in, which is more than most players are willing to play Tuesdays and Thursdays anyway. VideoPoker.com is giving away a free gold membership to everyone who attends one or more of my classes at the South Point. The gold membership allows you to avoid the pop-up ads on the site and also gives you correction on many games, such as Quick Quads, where you can't get correction anywhere else. On most games, if you have the gold membership, you can change pay schedules and still get the correction. They have a monthly contest, which is going to be starting the 24th. This month is going to be Ultimate X. They also have daily contests. Today until midnight, Deal Draw Poker. Tomorrow, Wheel Poker. Saturday, Triple Play Draw Poker. And Sunday, 100 Play with Quick Quads. All right. Our guest next week will be Joe Payne. Joe is a blackjack and poker player who has a lot of interesting stories to tell. The main reason why he's coming on this particular show is to spend 3 to 5 minutes rebutting some of the accusations made against him by Scott Bell. When Scott was here a couple weeks ago doing his movie Ultimate Beat, which was about the Ultimate Bet scandal. All right. Michael, you said you had a friend who passed away recently that you wish to talk briefly about.
Yes, thanks. When I first moved here to Vegas in 2001, a few different people said, "Did you know there's somebody with your exact same name, Michael Shackelford, that works as a slot machine engineer at Bally Gaming?" Not to be confused with the Bally's Casino. Bally Gaming makes slot machines. I said, "No, I didn't know that." So the next gaming show, I went over to Bally's booth and asked, "Is there a guy named here Michael Shackelford?" And sure enough, there he was. And, I don't know him that well. He was about 6 years younger than me. And seemed like a really nice, just happy guy. And through people that knew him better, I hear that he was indeed just a guy who loved life. He liked to do fun things. He was a lot of fun to be around. I heard on the job he was just loved the mathematics and the science of slot machines and was outstanding at what he did. Through the years, I always tried to say hi at the gaming shows and visited him at the Bally offices near the airport once. So I'm sad to say that about 2 weeks ago, he was riding his motorcycle and a car cut in front of him making a left turn and he was killed. And so I just wanted to take a minute to honor the memory of the other Michael Shackelford. Thank you.
Thank you. And going
to
give
Bob,
you...
I just wanted to mention when you were mentioning Scott Bell in his movie,
yes.
It just brought to mind, I get asked quite often, we had a guest on named Casey who had a movie that he was working on, and I had posted the trailer for his film. Man, it's been more than a year. But anyway, I just happened to run into him in a casino recently, and of course, ask him what's going on with the movie. And he assures me that they have been working on it diligently all this time, and that is actually very close to being done, and probably within the next month, they will have a finished product. So, and then they'll be entering it in festivals. And once it is completely done, he's going to contact me, and I don't know, maybe we'll have him back on the show, or we'll get more details, because I know people are interested in that.
Yeah, this was a movie where he would change disguises and go into hundreds of different casinos.
He got in an RV and drove all over the United States just playing blackjack as a card counter and getting thrown out of places left and right.
He gets thrown out of a lot of places in the movie. That's for sure. All right.
Yeah. So, and the trailer is probably still up on my blog somewhere, although you'd have to dig back to find it. But all
right, Michael, we have about 1 minute left on the half point parlay cards. Mm-hmm. How often would you say you do not have how many weeks would you not have a good bet?
That's a good question. I've only been started this season, and every single week has been a good week. I typically find 5 to 8 good picks to put on the card, and you only need 5 to get an advantage. So this is something you can do every single week. Some weeks are better than others, but it's solidly good through the whole regular season.
Very good. Thank you very much, Michael Shackelford. Thank you, Richard Munchkin. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.